Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, pod people. This week, we're cleaning the white dog shit off our retro Air Jordans and drifting back to 2010 to find out why David Cameron had Jack Duckworth assassinated, how Julia Gillard gave Tony Abbott the gift of perpetual erectile dysfunction, and why Mark Zuckerberg received a Man of the Year award for pissing on Donald Trump in a Moscow hotel room. All this in an ad that's so good it creates an existential crisis for the pod in this week's episode of Classic Ads from Simpler Times. My name's Steve Cook, and along with my co-host, award-winning advertising creative and TV ad director Tony Williams, we're looking at a telly ad for Old Spice that first aired in the USA in 2010.
Go on then, you first.
Morning, Tones.
Hello, Steve.
So immature.
It's just so amateur. So the year is 2010. Julia Gillard becomes the first Prime Minister of Australia.
She's the first Prime Minister.
No, I've got to start again now. Fucking hell. You put me right off the stroke.
Sorry.
Okay. So the year is 2010.
2010.
Julia Gillard becomes the first female Prime Minister of Australia.
Okay.
I kind of like Julia.
I can't do any impressions of her, I'm afraid.
Before she resigned, she did a speech in Parliament where she called out Tony Abbott as a misogynistic bucket of shite in a suit. Don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I do remember when she mispronounced a word, which was famous. She was doing an interview on the radio and she said, the interviewer asked her a question or something. She said, I don't really know about that. I'll leave the hyperbole up to you.
She was from Wales, though.
Like a brilliant idea I have. Why don't you move to Australia? Come Prime Minister.
Half a million people watched the 6,000th episode of Neighbours.
Oh.
Where absolutely fuck all happened.
Really?
Yep.
Tim didn't come back. he didn't do a Dallas and come back like Bobby.
Bill Clinton didn't shag Mrs. Mangle.
So nothing happened. Okay.
Barack Obama is the President of the United States and Steve Jobs at Apple launches the iPad. First iPad.
2010.
They sold 300,000 on the first day. And since then, they've sold 350 million.
No.
Do you want to do a fact check?
Fact check.
I'll put some music in here.
The first iPad was... Table 47, your chips are ready. Sorry. Oh my God, you're right.
2010, thank
you. What is up with that?
It's almost as if I did some research before we started.
Everyone, yes, you're correct. Sorry, do you want to start at Steve Jobs?
300,000 on launch day they sold.
Sorry.
And since then they've sold 350 million.
Sorry, I just talked over you twice then. Do you want to start back with Steve Jobs?
No, just carry on.
Please do.
No, it's becoming part of the charm of the podcast.
You didn't win
where
silver,
you just
lost
fucking
gold.
Talk over me all the time. Mark Zuckerberg was Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
Oh, you want to talk now? Was it? Okay, good. To Facebook.
That was before Vladimir Putin got hold of the video of him peeing on Donald Trump.
I might want to fact check that. It was Steve Jobs.
Vladimir's used it to blackmail the entire Western world since then. Lady Gaga wore a dress made entirely out of meat.
That's right.
To the MTV Awards.
She did.
David Cameron is elected British Prime Minister. I've written here, as part of his Tory government's culture wars against Northerners.
If there's any still left.
Yes. Pigeon fancying doll bludger, an all-round gloomy, joyless Northern caricature, Jack Duckworth, is immediately written out of Coronation Street.
Vera. Really?
Yep.
Because he's a man of the people and he wanted him written out.
Jack Duckworth stood basically for the entire north of England, didn't he? He was all of us. I grew up in a village and there were like five Jack Duckworths in our village.
Wow.
Chief amongst them was a bloke called Stan Pickering, who went out to, told his wife he was going to the newsagent to get a newspaper and walked down to get the newspaper to find that it was the annual outing, the pub outing, to Bridlington for a day trip. So he got on the coach. Bearing in mind, this is before mobile phones. So he went out for a newspaper, got on the coach, went with the lads to Bridlington, got so fucked up that he missed the coach back and had to hitchhike home because he had no money, because he had enough money with him.
To your paper?
Yeah, so he'd been bludging grog all. Anyway, had to hitchhike back. So the way that he told it, he came back 3 days later having hitchhiked from Bridlington, which is about 60 miles. And when he walked in, his wife hadn't realised they'd been late. She literally just hadn't noticed. She said to him, "You spend all your fucking time at the pub anyway. I just didn't notice that you weren't there." Okay, this week we're going to look at an ad for Old Spice, released in 2010, widely regarded as the first true social media integrated campaign.
This was a big winner, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What made it an integrated campaign?
Dove had leaked that they were going to run a TV ad for a new product during the Super Bowl. So Old Spice, who were in the midst of a rebrand, released their TV ad 4 days earlier on YouTube. And then ran it during the Super Bowl as a box standard TVC. And then had an entire social campaign where people could ask questions in the comments on the YouTube vid and they would make a video answering the question.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. The stats are interesting. So, hang on, where's my stats?
Boom, 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 boom.
Within 3 days of putting it up on YouTube, it had 20 million views.
Wow. Which by today's standards isn't that much for something like that, but then it was huge, wasn't it?
4 days later, it was the all-time most viewed video on YouTube.
Wow.
And when I looked at it yesterday, it had 57 million views.
Wow.
The other interesting stat I have, 3 months later, sales of Old Spice were up 60%. And 6 months later, that figure had jumped to 125%.
Is that true? Because in the advertising world at the time, maybe just bitter creatives going, "Didn't sell anything." I had heard that it didn't actually increase sales, which I found hard to believe, but that was the word on the street.
So the ad won a Cannes Lion.
Yeah, but as I said, did it sell any products?
And in the submission for the Lion, those were the figures that...
Oh, well, okay. Fantastic.
So the agency was Wieden Kennedy in the USA. Those are the figures that they put forward.
Wow.
In the case study for the Cannes Lions.
That's fantastic. So it was a rebrand. It was a relaunch. Do you remember the Old Spice ad before that?
No.
Oh, look, the worm has turned. Here's a clue. All it was a surfer coming down a big wave with that dramatic operatic music.
Okay.
And it used to show a little button. It's like, Old Spice.
It's no wonder they needed a rebrand.
Yeah, it was awful.
At this stage, I thought I'd drop in and let you know that the music referred to here has been used so frequently in movies and commercials that its use is now widely considered to signal that you're watching satire One reviewer I read called it the Big Mac of classical music. The track itself was written in 1936 by German composer Karl Orff as part of a cantata called Carmina Burana. Here in Australia, its most recent incarnation was as the backing track to another Cannes Gold Line winning ad, Carlton Draft's Big Ad. Karl Orff was a Nazi sympathiser during World War II who proved himself to be in possession of some rather flexible principles both during and after the war. The Carlton Draft ad ends with two massed choirs singing the words, "It's a big ad, an expensive ad, this ad better sell some bloody beer." I'm fairly sure that Karl and his flexible principles would have approved of the sentiment.
Okay, I'm going to bore the shit out of you. Old Spice was launched in 1938.
Wow.
It's quite interesting. It became the aftershave of choice for US soldiers in the Second World War, thus defining the scent of a man to smelly European people. Previous to that, there had been a strong link between masculinity and male body odour.
Mm.
So the smellier you were, the more of a bloke you were.
Wow.
I thought it was quite interesting.
That is interesting.
It's a completely made-up category. And there are some old ads online, and my favourite is one from the early 1970s where a chap in a really nice suit says, "Girls like it. Is there a better reason to wear Old Spice?" And then the one after that, the voiceover says, "Why do so many men use Old Spice aftershave lotion?" And then the same bloke in the dodgy suit starts reeling off the names of all these girls that he's seen. So he goes, "Peggy likes it." And there's a picture of Peggy. And then he goes, "Susie likes it." And then Susie, basically, he's going, "It's a wear this and you'll get a lot."
So it's a euphemism, really, isn't it?
So it is. Yep. Wasn't subtle.
Like Kiss's Love Gun. Peggy likes it.
Okay. All right. At this stage, we're going to watch the ad. And this is where I'll insert the ad audio.
As per the usual form, there's a YouTube link in the pod notes if you'd like to have a look. The audio that follows is woeful, but it does have the major benefit of being free.
"Hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me. But if he stopped using lady-scented body wash and switched to Old Spice, he could smell like he's me. Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're on a boat with the man your man could smell like. What's in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It's an oyster with two tickets to that thing you love. Look again. The tickets are now diamonds. Anything is possible when your man smells like Old Spice and not a lady. I'm on a horse."
"You're on a boat with a man your man could smell like."
This is an oyster with some pearl. Now it's a ticket to that thing you wanted to go to.
That's great, isn't it? Two tickets to that thing you love.
Yeah. I'm going to give the impression I care.
Yes. Okay, do you want to take us through it?
Yes, it's fantastic. It's brilliant. It's a complete change from what the brand used to be, of course. Now, interestingly, you know, aftershave and perfumes, just in general, are one of the hardest things, I think, to create work for and communicate. Think of any perfume. I can see now it's a black and white film. Kate Moss is running along the beach. They're playing around. There's some orchestral music playing, and it falls in. It just goes, you know, "Liberty" by Chanel. So you've got to try and communicate an essence and a smell, which, after all, is the strongest sense for a memory.
It's a low consumer involvement category. So the difficulty is, as you know, it's very hard to sell stuff that you can't see.
Mm. Well, as I said, but we know, you know, that smell is one of the strongest senses of memory. Like, if I close my eyes now, I can smell a Singapore taxi, right? I don't know how this works. I can smell Dubai Airport. It's true. It's one of the strongest things to bring back memory. So they've done an amazing job because they're not actually advertising the product. They're advertising the benefits of the product, and it's different. So they're not saying, it's not like a food where they're saying it's got these ingredients, it tastes good. It's, you know, they don't actually mention that it's got cinnamon or it's made with this or that at all, because they can't, because it's a smell. So it's very hard to describe. So the benefits of it, because if you look at the original brand, or say the original brand, the brand that I remember, it did what all great brands do. It attaches a personality to it. Now, that personality would be a bloke called Derek in a light grey leather jacket. Not a nice one, you know, like the quilted ones, the puffy ones. Probably with a dalian, bit of hair coming out the top of the shirt, brown Farrah's and slip-ons. And he'd splash it all over, brute style. But that's what the brand would represent to me.
It's interesting you saying brute style, because my memory of this category is Henry Cooper.
Yeah, splash it all over.
Henry Cooper and Kevin Keegan.
Do you remember denim, the ad? Yeah. It was just a man's open shirt with a woman's hand just going to slip into it. And he stops her, says, denim. That was it.
The other one was Paco Rabanne, but I don't think Paco Rabanne advertised a lot. It was the kind of stuff that used to turn up at Christmas.
So this is it. So Old Spice do nice gift sets. And I would say every bloke of our generation would have a bottle of Old Spice a few years old on the shelf somewhere with the silver sort of rim around the top rusting and running down the side. I can't actually remember the smell. I don't know if it's that unpleasant or whatever, but it had a reputation for being a bit dodgy. So the ad is amazing in the sense that they completely transformed it with brutal honesty by being completely in fantasy land. And of course, they're not advertising to the guys, they're advertising to the women.
I was going
to
ask you about that.
So the original ads advertised to men.
Take us through the ad visually first, and then we'll talk about the strategy for it.
Well, visually, we know it's not for men because it shows a man half naked, which isn't something normally you'd look at from your newspapers. You go, oh, no, I wonder what this is.
So this is Isaiah Mustafa, who is an American football player. He's looked after himself quite well.
He has. He's worked out a bit. And he's standing there and he just basically talks directly to camera and, hello, ladies. And then it's just nonstop dialogue, right? You've got to really concentrate to keep up, which you want to keep up. You know, look at me, now look at your man, now look back at me. You know, your man could look like me, but he doesn't because he uses body wash to sell like ladies' fragrances. So straight away,
Lady-scented body wash.
But he's like this ultra cool guy. If you're going to do a cheesy cool guy, you do it like him, but it works so well. And then, through an incredible post-production, although, did I read, I don't know whether you've got the facts on this, how they did it, there was a little more, it was done a little bit more on camera than, you know, you'd expect. So we go through these amazing scenarios, I've got an oyster, I've got diamonds, all the things that women want, and especially the most important thing a woman wants is a man that smells nice. It's incredible. It's really, really, very clever. And it had that X factor where you go to work the next day and say, look at me, now look at your man.
And visually, it starts off in the bathroom and then there's a scene change and he ends up, where does he go? He's on the beach. And then he ends up on a horse.
No, so that's a great twist, yeah. So sorry, I should, talk to it. So he's in the bathroom. The bathroom scenery suddenly moves. He doesn't move out of camera, basically. I mean, he does through some very tricky camera work. He doesn't move, so he's always the centre of focus, non-stop dialogue. The bathroom changes to a blue sky behind. His hand looks down. You look down his hand and he's got an oyster shell and it's suddenly got diamonds, which suddenly all pour out. And like in a blink of an eye, they become two tickets, the thing you want to go to. He keeps having a look at me and then he says, now I'm here, now I'm on a horse. And suddenly he's on a white horse where 30 seconds ago he was in his bathroom with a towel wrapped around him. It's very, very clever. And it's one of those great ads you watch every time you see something different. You see something new.
The amazing thing from a production point of view is that the ad was shot in one uninterrupted
the whole thing.
Take. It took them 3 days to get it right.
Yeah, but did it?
There is one piece of CGI in it, which is...
The diamonds and ticket, right?
Well, no, it's not. Apparently, they worked out how to do that just with a cut. But the one piece of CGI is the pack shot rises out of the pile of diamonds in the palm of his hands. And that's the CGI shot.
I'm going to have to look at that frame by frame. That's incredible.
Yep. So it took him 3 days. The director, I can't pronounce his name. I'm going to get you to pronounce it right now. I'll read it out phonetically. So it was directed by a guy called Tom. K-U-N-T-Z. Tom.
Kuntz.
Huge. Tom Kuntz directed this ad.
Well,
in a single, I mean, I thought it was amazing. There's a slightly folklorish feel about it, but Tom Kuntz swears that it was a single uninterrupted take, but it did take 3 days. So, for instance, at one stage, he gets a jumper drops over his head.
Yeah.
So apparently they had a gaffer leaning off a crane, literally dropping it straight onto his shoulders.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and if you look at it, you can see, because it doesn't land square, it lands slightly offset. And it's the kind of thing you couldn't reproduce if you were going to do it in CGI.
The interesting thing about this is that it's a man's product, like a man's product, but you can tell from the opening line, it's targeted at women.
So the planner went to a meeting with the client and the client went, we've done some research. What we found is that 60% of all sales of male grooming products are made by women.
Are made by women.
6% of all purchases are made by women.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, how many men really would buy their own cologne or aftershave?
So the creation brief became the client basically briefed the agency.
Do you see how much harder this is when it's a real ad? when not ripping the tears out of it.
The creation brief was stop women buying lady-scented body wash for men. That was literally the brief.
I think the brief...
So apparently...
Is that a fact?
The brief used the words lady-scented body wash. And we're back to that thing where how do you sell a product that doesn't... that you can't see?
Mm.
And you do it by associating it with a specific person or personality. In this case, Asiya Mustafa, who is essentially parodying himself.
He is, but you know when you say it's a product you can't see? This is what I was saying before. When you think of like cologne or CK1 or whatever it may be, or even that shocking ad, which was for, was it, oh God, Gucci, where Brad Pitt did that, which was parodied so much, black and white.
Which is,
it's I the think, hyper-realism I think we, of the standpoint, all right?
I think we have to actually, whenever that ad is referred to, you have to refer to it as the worst ad in the world.
It is. So you listen to those words, and that's an attempt to put dialogue into a scent ad. So this isn't about scent. Because he's talking all the way through it. It's not about communicating something you can't see. It's doing it in a very very straightforward, direct way, right? Saying, basically, if you had subtitles to that ad, it'd be, look at me, aren't I handsome, ladies? Would you rather see me in the shower? Or then look at me, men. Would you rather feel like you look like me in the shower or come out of the bathroom? I'm romantic, I'm handsome. Wouldn't you want your man to smell like me? Guys, don't you want to give the impression you know?
The thing that I found fascinating about this ad is it's purely for the American market, but it uses a format which is about as un-American as you can get, in that the thing is entirely ironical.
Ironical.
And ironical. Is that a word?
I don't think so. I don't know, maybe.
Did I just make that word
I up? Think you may have ironical.
It doesn't sound right.
Ironical,
it?
No. Hey, Google, is ironical a word?
On the website dictionary.com, they say adjective, using words to convey a meaning that is the opposite of its literal meaning.
Okay, thanks, Google. Cancel.
Irony, an ironic novel, an ironic remark. Relating to or tending to use irony or mockery. Ironical.
Oh!
He shoots.
Ironical.
He scores.
Wow.
Americans not famously being not heavy on irony. The entire thing is irony.
Mm.
And it's also, it plays on every single cliche created by every advert in the category ever.
Mm. It's very clever because you watch it. And you don't realise at the time it's actually taking the piss out of everything, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Including its target audience.
Yeah, it's true.
So with the classic line, two tickets for
that thing you
for that thing you like. If you read behind that, you're going, it's two tickets for that thing that I don't give a fuck, fuck about.
Yeah.
And which is really important to you.
What was women like? Diamonds, there, yeah.
The ad compares a black professional sportsman to your man.
To Bob sitting next to you.
Well, to exactly. Which...
Well, you can see the audience too. I've got the TV dinners. The wife looks at him. Look at me now. Look back at your man.
Sadly, he's not me. I think that's one of the lines. Yeah. Sadly, he isn't me.
Yeah.
Two tickets to that thing. I love. That's my favourite line. In that the entire ad is constructed to talk to women. Hello, ladies. And then it proceeds to rip the absolute piss out of them with that single line.
Even right to the end, you know, think about all the Mills and Boones covers. It's like, no, I'm on a horse.
I'm on a horse.
It's like, what else would it be? Because, you know, if it was a man writing the ad, look, now I'm in a Bugatti driving away. You know, but what man would say, put him on a white horse, that'd be sexy.
All right, let's move this along. If the production values weren't as good, if Tom Contz hadn't managed to get...
I wonder if he was difficult to deal with. That'd be ironical.
Yeah. Are you going to take the piss out of me forever for using the word ironical?
Who's directing it? Oh, Tom Cunts.
Tom Cunts.
But you can call him Cunts. My friends do.
In Germany, he'd be called Herr Cunts.
Oh,
With that,
it seems crazy to get back. How was he able to work with?
He was fine. He was fine. Great guy.
Okay. So, sorry. The in my opinion, that is one of the best scripts that I for an ad. Just if you just extract the words and did it as a voiceover, I think it's an amazing script. If you strip back the production values, it was all done in one shot. They're all proper sets, but the production values are phenomenal. Mm. Without those production values, does the ad work or not?
No, but just first thing, you said that the script is brilliant and the guy that wrote that is amazing. Or was it a guy that wrote it? Was the writer a guy? Which is interesting because it's...
Yeah, that's my middle-aged sexist.
No, I'm just wondering. I assume the same.
It actually was a guy.
All right, okay. But if the production values weren't as good, there's the unwritten rule, you never say what you see, and he is basically narrating the whole thing. Right, so here's this, look at this. Yeah. Which, in theory, you know, if you follow that rule, it wouldn't work. But because the production is so slick, and it does happen in the blink of an eye, it's so seamless, you don't feel you're watching what he's saying. But what he's saying also supports the visuals because they do happen so quickly. If you watch that ad with the volume off, and we used to have a client that actually rejected a huge ad because it doesn't work with the volume off, which is a bit of an odd thing to do. Yeah. If you watched it, it would still work. Because you would have that voice in your head. You go, oh, what's it? You know, and you see it. Oh, okay. You get it. Oh, it's beautiful. He wants, yeah, you know, he's a hunky guy. He's all cool and it's for Old Spice. You get it. So if you listen to just the dialogue, like you probably did at the beginning of this, and not see the visuals, obviously it may not mean a lot, but... The step down from production values of that would be some very bad, I guess, CG work, or even lower than that would be local theatre. You know, the bushes moving, someone on wheels pulling it back and forth, and a guy running underneath, which could be funny, but it would detract from what it is. But again, the slickness of the production is the slickness of him. You know, what makes him look so cool is because everything works perfectly around him. Mm. If it was clunky, then he wouldn't look cool.
To me, that ad is the classic, it has cut through. That's the...
Yeah.
And cut through is expensive.
Yeah, no,
I think we would agree that, you know, it's difficult to create an ad that will generate what was the figure that we came up with, you know, 20 million YouTube views in 3 days. This is in 2010. It's difficult to come up with an ad that will do that on a budget of $200,000.
The interesting thing about it, you know, production wise, is if it wasn't done, I'm sure it was an enormous amount of work to do all in camera. And it could have been done in CG, but it's those little nuances, you know, about the things that go slightly wrong and the fact that it has to work naturally, which make it work so well. I think even if it spent twice as much and did it all in CG, it wouldn't have been as good because, you know, it sounds ridiculous to say it's a fantasy land, but it feels real in some sense. So that's why, yeah, all the little different parts, you know, come together to make it work very well.
I want you to score it for me. Brand.
I would give it a 4.6. And I think because the branding's so strong to you and I, because we know it. If you'd never heard of that brand before, he does sort of push it forward, but you could replace that bottle with a lot of other stuff and not know it.
Yeah, I couldn't find any recall figures for it.
Right.
Which is the first thing that I look for when we're doing these. The thing to say about Old Spice is they were coming off a low base with this.
Mm.
Basically, it's a complete rebrand. This ad launched a complete rebrand.
Mm.
It was the fuddy-duddy shit that your auntie bought you at Christmas because she couldn't think of anything else.
Mm.
Okay, 4.6. Interesting. You could replace the pack shot.
And it's also very difficult because for the reason I talked about that, it was a big viral sensation. You and I have seen it through our advertising eyes, and it's hard to see it as a consumer because of the awards it won, the creativity, the production. We looked at it from every angle, so it's hard to say what to do for the brand because, you know, from the get-go, we weren't looking at it as a brand, but considering it's Super Bowl placement, obviously it would have had a huge cut through.
4.6 casting.
Oh, 5.
Woo. Research nugget. Apparently, in 2020, I saw it on the internet this morning. They have reprised Mustafa, Isaiah Mustafa, in a new ad, which purports to show him with his teenage son.
Oh,
it's kind of it's a good attempt, but it's not even close.
Have you seen it?
I've seen the ad. It's on Tinterweb.
Oh.
Do you want to look at it?
No. Hey, here's an ad that's not very good. Do you want to watch it? Sure.
Craft.
Oh, can I give it 10 out of 5? It's got to be a five.
You, see, you're backing yourself into a corner. There's, you gave fucking J.R. Hartley 19.2 last week.
No, look at me. No. Look back at your man. You do. Good.
I'm playing golf.
How about that? Have you got a book? It's on fly fishing. It's by J.R. Hartley. Look over there for it now. Look over here.
I'm on a horse.
No. I'm on a horse.
Creativity.
4.9. I don't know. I just really want to see the ad with J.R. Hartley for Old Spice.
That is 19.5 points.
Well,
out of 20.
You know, you put the big ones up there, you're going to get big scores.
There is that. I think I have struggled. I was going to ask you. I was going to do the usual thing and say, do you want to do? You know, can you do me a new strap line? But the manual man could smell like.
Yeah, you know that's not actually
the strap. Do you know what? Can you remember what the strap is? There is a visual strap. It's not said, but there is visual.
No, I don't remember it.
But the super is smell like a man. Man.
Oh, that's very good.
Which is very
American. But it's seamless, isn't it? It just appears without realising it's
it doesn't get said. So if you know, typically you'd go, oh, you're the man your man could smell like, which.
I mean, if I was a team presenting, I mean, you can't better that, but if you want to please the client, you might have, you know, because you want the ad to work on a banner ad on a web, whatever, you'd have Old Spice, it smells nice. Or Old Spice, smell nice. Right? Because that's basically what he's saying. If the brief
that's
was,
the billboard.
Don't smell, you know,
that's
like
the billboard.
You're out funny.
Yeah.
Then it would be Old Spice, smell nice.
I did have a kind of a flight fantasy where I thought that we could make a Northern English version. and that, so the talent would be Peter Kay.
Oh, yeah.
And he stood there in a towel. But the towel's a really nasty towel. It's not a white towel. It's like, it's a really, you know, like a towel your mum used to make you take to the swimming bath?
Yeah. Because it's about if you lost it.
Yeah, it's that towel.
Or you wipe your bike down with. Yeah.
And Peter Kay stood there and he's got man boobs and a pot belly.
I can't imagine. Let me think. Oh, got it, yeah.
And he's, man, you. He's, man, your man could smell that. It doesn't work, does it?
I don't know.
Tip man, your man could smell like.
What to buy when you want tip man to smell to nice? It's all right.
And at the end, instead of going, I'm on a horse, you go, I'm on a bike.
No, I'm on my mate's bike. Got two tickets to bingo. And look, I've got spangles. Look at him, go on. Now look back at me, over here.
You're on a boat. You're on a boat with man, your man could be. Like,
Nobbert. Goes down in his hand rather than an oyster, goes, bag of chips.
Nobbert. Sydney.
That'd be very good.
Aye, bloody, bloody. Tones were done, I think, for today. Thank you very much.
That was a very good ad.
I think we might have to choose, the next ad might have to be a bit shittier than that one to give us more to work with.
So next week from Perth, the place dream comes to die. I think some wise man told me that.
The place where your career comes to die.
Oh, no. I could have been someone. Yes.
Like, didn't you used to be Tony Williams?
No, I used to be Tony Cunt. I didn't.
Tom.
No, I used to be Tony the Cunt.
All right.
It's interesting. The better the ad, the harder it is to discuss it because
exactly.
It's really easy to pull things to pieces.
Yep.
And even if there's some difference in point of view, like J.R. Hartley, because you have to say it like that every time, it's easy. But when there is an ad, which I'm not saying it's perfect, there's no such thing as perfect, but you know, when I watch that ad back, I haven't seen it for years. And I'm talking 6 years, but I can replay in my mind every scene. You know, or I could replay it. But I mean, it's very good.
I think what we've done is we've just thrashed out the future direction of the podcast. We're only going to review shit ads.
So rather than being...
They have to be classic ads, but they have to be really average.
So classic
average.
Ads, simpler times, basically, well, classic ads, shitty...
shitty ads.
Classic ads from shitty
Okay, that's another episode of classic ads from simpler times. Thank you very much, Tones.
Thanks, Steve. Bye.
Well, I think we can all agree that everyone's happier when the ad reviewed isn't actually much good. So look out for next week's episode and we'll try to get back on the right track and find something we can shit all over. In the meantime, hit the subscribe button and you can listen to two middle-aged men laughing at their own jokes every week as we continue to produce more of the chewing gum on the carpet of the internet that is our podcast, Classic Ads from Simpler Times. Thanks for listening.
Take the rest of the day off. You deserve it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.